In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It is well and pleasing to pray for the dead. Today, we celebrate the commemoration of All Souls. In the commemoration of All Souls, if you were to rank the feasts in the church, do you know how they go? The ranking of feasts in the church. The highest of the feasts are a class called solemnities. Solemnities, these are days in which it is obligatory for us. We have to pray the creed as a part of the Mass. In fact, it's the only time we're allowed to pray the creed during the Mass is during a solemnity, which is every single Sunday, which is all these great feast days that we have, like yesterday is All Saints Day. Then what else do we have? We have rankings even within them. Solemnities of our Lord rank higher than anything else. And even above the solemnities of our Lord come what? The Sundays of Lent and of Advent. That even if a great solemnity like St. Joseph's feast day happens to fall on one of those days, it's canceled because so great are those days. Below that would be parish feast days, parish patrons, diocesan patrons held within the cathedral where that is. What would that be like? St. Rose. That's why we can celebrate her feast day on a Sunday. We go down below that, we have feasts. And those feasts are really special days where we have to, we can't not, rather I should say, pray the Gloria on those days. For some reason in Mexico, today is a feast day. Don't know why yet. Find that out later. Down below that, then we have regular memorials of the saints, obligatory memorials where we can't do anything else but commemorate that particular saint. Then you have optional memorials where you can do it if you wish to do so. And below that is commemorations. Commemorations, like today's commemoration, the commemoration of All Souls. And down below that is a nothing day. So today, what are we celebrating? A commemoration, the slightest, tiniest little bit above a nothing day. But it's an important day in the church. And the great mystery of this great feast day that we celebrate, rather this commemoration of All Souls, is what? Is that some days, when this commemoration of All Souls Day falls upon a Sunday, it trumps the Sunday. It becomes higher than the Sunday, even though it's a lowly commemoration. Why is that? That's the day when we get to wear, we call it as priests, Black Sunday, because the priest, that's the only time in the course of the year that he's permitted to wear black. So today, even though it is a lowly feast day, it is the highest because it's able to trump even a Sunday somehow by the great mystery that the church allows in her liturgy. Today we do something great. It is a well and good, pleasing thing, a blessed thought to pray for the dead. Where does that phrase come from? It comes from the second book of Maccabees. Remember, Judas Maccabeus was there and he was leading his charge against those infidels who were trying to destroy the Jewish religion to force them to leave their faith. And so some of them happened to pass away. And what did he find of those who died in battle? They were all wearing amulets to false gods. He said, it shouldn't be like this. So he took up a collection among them all. They sent money to Jerusalem for sacrifices to be offered on behalf of these ones. And it says there, as a little parenthetical note, saying, it is a good and holy thought to pray for the dead. It is a good and holy thought to pray for the dead. And so we are today. When we think about the church and we think about what it is that we're doing today, what should come to our minds? We think about the souls in purgatory. Not long ago, somebody came up to me here from this parish. And they said to me, after reading a book on purgatory, some of the mystical revelations of what goes on in purgatory, this parishioner of ours exclaimed, Father, I never want to go to purgatory. It's a horrible place. It's a horrible place. I can't imagine going to purgatory. I don't want to go there, Father. It's a sad thing, isn't it? Because purgatory is one of the greatest graces of being Catholic. Because we know only those souls which are perfect are able to make it into heaven. And so how does the soul become perfect? That it might come into heaven. Only through purgation. Only through purging, only through cleansing. As that first reading that Joanne gave us from the Book of Wisdom was all about that purgation up there. We have three sections of the church. You remember what they are? The church militant, that's us. The church suffering, those are the souls in purgatory. And the church triumphant, those who have already made it to heaven, the saints who we celebrated yesterday. Today we're focusing on the second group, but there's a fourth group that's excluded from all those because they're not part of the church. Those are the souls of the damned, the souls who have damned themselves in hell. When we look at this life, we think about all those sufferings. That's what this parishioner was worried about, the sufferings that go on in purgatory. Are there sufferings in purgatory? Yes. Do we suffer in our life today? Yes, we suffer greatly in our lives today. Is there suffering in hell? Yes. The scriptures say that the suffering does not end, that worm does not die, that fire is eternal. Do the souls suffer in heaven? Absolutely not. There's no suffering in heaven. There's no suffering in heaven at all. Why? What's the difference between heaven and all these other four states in which our soul could possibly rest in at some point? What's the difference? To answer that question, I want to go back to one of the very first things that I taught you here when I first came, what seems like so many ages ago. I had a lot less gray hair at that time. I asked you a question. I said something, and I hearkened back to something that some of you learned during your youth as you were little kids. I asked you a question. I don't want the answer. What was the question that I put before you? Or rather, here, where was the question even found? Does anybody remember? Deacon Marvin pays attention. Anybody else know? It's from the Baltimore Catechism. Okay, what was the question? You got to say it a little bit louder. These ears are growing more sordo as time goes on. Why did God make you? Sister knows. Why did God make you? And what's the answer for that? That's right. To know, love, and serve him in this world. What else? That's right. That's exactly right. That's where this comes down to. This comes down to the suffering. Why is there suffering here on earth, church militant? Why is there suffering in the church, suffering in purgatory? Why is there suffering which is eternal in hell? And why is there no suffering in heaven? Here's the reason why. God made you to know, to love, and to serve him in this life. Why? So that you can be happy forever with him in heaven. What does that tell us about why there's suffering? There's suffering in these other places because God didn't make a single soul. God did not make your soul. None of our souls was made so that we could be here on earth. False. God did not make any of our souls so that we could be in purgatory. God never made a soul for purgatory. God did not make any of our souls to spend the eternity in hell. No, he did not. God made our souls for what? To be with him forever, happy. That's it. And so any moment that you and I spend, no matter what it is, no matter how great it may be, no matter how exciting it may feel, no matter what is going on within your life, God did not make you for anything except for to be with him. That's it. And every second, every millisecond, every age, every day, every hour that you spend separated from him, that is suffering. Unless you're completely, fully united to him. To be in the presence of God means that there is no room for suffering because you're complete and total. There's no fighting that's going on within your interior life. And so why do we suffer in this life? So that we can let go of those things that are not God, that we attach ourselves to that aren't him perfectly. Why is there suffering in purgatory? It's because those ways in which we've held to one of those capital vices, that is not God. Those things have to be purged away from us, as it says right there. What did that second reading that was given to us from Romans there, which was also read for our sister Pauline's Mass earlier this past week? It says, the present sufferings. It talks about it is a momentary and light affliction that we're going through, the sufferings. Momentary and light in comparison to the eternal time of glory that is to be revealed for those who love God. Every moment that we spend apart from God, or not fully united to him, will always be a suffering. But for the souls who put their trust in God, not in themselves but in God, an eternal weight of glory stands that outweighs and outshines all things. So today we're praying for those souls who can do nothing for themselves. The souls in purgatory. We're praying for them. They're here. They're here at this Mass, so many of them. You can't see them, but they're here with us at this Mass. Do you pray for them? Do you have a devotion to the holy souls? Yesterday, today, through the 8th, there's an opportunity to gain a full indulgence, a plenary indulgence for these souls, and all you have to do is take a little second out of your day and go to any cemetery anywhere. Pray for a second, or pray for an hour, it doesn't matter. The church says pray in a cemetery for them. Gain that indulgence for them. Every day outside of that during this month, doing the same thing, at least a partial indulgence. The souls need it. Those who we love need it. Those who we should love, but we don't even know who they are, they need it, but they know who we are. And certainly, they know exactly who it is who prayed them out. Have devotion to the holy souls. The souls that are now suffering because they can do nothing for themselves. They rely upon us to do for them. But make no mistake, the souls that are in purgatory, as we say time and time again, they can't pray for themselves, but they have to pray for you and me. Why? Because that charity, that love that moves us to pray for those who are still suffering is the one thing that helps us to remove ourselves from our selfishness that keeps us locked in purgatory. To be the freedom, to be the saints that God has called us, to be totally other-centered individuals, just like Jesus Christ. After this Mass, we're going to go pray for those souls at the cemetery. During this Mass, we pray for them. Also recognize that those souls still pray for you. We as a church are united. Church militant here today, you. Church suffering, those souls we pray for today, certainly the church triumphant in heaven. They're rooting for all of us to make it home. Today, for those souls, we pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.